Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is DJ Catchman, the Mobile Technologies and Systems CIO for the Veterans Affairs Department's Mobile Cloud Infrastructure. DJ, this is a special edition of Ask the CIO, so welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
So for this program, we're talking more about mobility, and really the focus here is on really where the government has come from, where they're going around mobility, mobile computing, however we want to term it. And the Veterans Affairs Department, in so many ways, has been ahead of the curve. You know, you have to be mobile at VA. So just talk a little bit about your role as the Mobile Technologies and Systems CIO. You have one of the longest title of a card, right? So give me a sense of what you do. What does your job entail?
I have a couple different roles. First, I'm mobile director and security assurance director for our client technologies. And essentially what that means is that we're responsible for the endpoints in the organization, whether it's a desktop or a laptop or a mobile device. And I also have the opportunity to be system CIO for our mobile infrastructure, and that entails making sure that we have an infrastructure that supports our mobile application development, all the way from development through production, as well as where our mobile device manager sits.
So there's two separate responsibilities in many ways. So when you talk about the endpoints, is your role then say to the computers, do the PCs work? You need a new laptop, I'll get you that. Is that part of it, or are you more not just the hardware refresh, but really the software side of it?
We're really behind the scenes. So for the security endpoint, we focus on things like IPS, antivirus, and those types of things for the actual desktops and laptops. And then the mobile devices, we really focus on the STIGs, the DISA STIGs, which are our security baselines, as well as all those other configuration controls that apply to those devices. So what the user sees from our perspective is simply just that common security baseline control that they have to use every day. And hopefully they don't see most of that work that goes on.
They just turn it on. They know certain things they can and can't do based on the STIGs. It's interesting. I guess I didn't know the Veterans Affairs Department took those DISA STIGs and implemented them. Is that something that VA has done for a while, or is that something maybe on the newer side, maybe the last few years?
So for the last 4 or 5 years with mobile, we've really leveraged those, largely because it's easier for us to take a document that's been created already, rather than us putting our own resources into that. So what we do is we take those STIGs, and then we modify them so that they support our mission. So some of those things that they have in there, STIG is very focused on DOD. So some of those we may adjust. Some of our controls are a little bit tighter, and some of our controls are a little bit looser.
Without getting into too much of the details, would you say it's about 80% the same and 20% change? Was it more or less? Because you hear throughout government the 80-20 rule, right? We're all about the same, about 80%. And if you're going to use a commercial product or a product that somebody else has developed, it's really changing that other 20%. Did you find that with those STIGs?
Yeah, most of the, especially for the mobile piece, there's only so many controls that can apply to a mobile device. So we find it's probably at least 80% or similar.
When you guys decided to bring those in, was there any kind of pushback? Did people want to, I don't know if you were here, this was one of your projects, but was VA people go, no, why don't we write our own? Why are we going to use somebody else's? Or was that kind of understood that this is the direction that VA is going?
I think because DOD has really been at the forefront of putting those configuration controls around mobile, it was far easier for our organization to simply accept those as the baseline, which we can then adjust.
The other hat you wear is around, as you said, system CIO for mobile infrastructure app development. Talk a little bit about that role. Is it a matter of ensuring that the mobile device management system's in place? Is it ensuring that there's some kind of app development store? Talk a little bit more about what you do as the system CIO.
Sure, there's two distinct pieces to that. One, we have our Enterprise Mobility Manager, or MDM as they're widely known, and that obviously is for our configuration of our devices, tracking devices, visibility to the devices, delivery of applications. And then we have our mobile infrastructure, which supports development from really from the very beginning of a development cycle all the way through production. And this started around 4 or 5 years ago. And the premise was one cloud first. That's when cloud first really took off. So the CIO at the time said, go out and do cloud first. We don't want you doing it in here. So we went out there and did that. And the premise, again, behind this was simply to take a single team who sees an application as it's developed all the way through production, so that when the app does get to production, the OIT organization is ready for it. So we, in many cases, for a staff-facing application, are able to give some guidance on things that we know will or will not work. If you're going to develop an application, clearly you want it to sit on a specific mobile device or a type of mobile device. So we're able to shape those conversations around what are the appropriate controls for those devices and what things could they possibly run into that simply are just not conducive based on our security policies.
So is it mostly a security viewpoint that you bring, or are you looking at, hey, I want to develop this in iOS 8, and you say, hold on, no one's using iOS 8 anymore. It's always, everyone's using 9. You may want to rethink that.
Yeah, it's a combination of both. I mean, largely, we have two different types of development going on for the mobile infrastructure. We have staff-facing applications, and we have the veteran-facing applications. And for staff-facing applications, we absolutely have that conversation. We talk about the security baseline that we have for all of our devices, so whether it's iOS 8, 9, or 10, with the different variations for that. For the veteran ones, it's more of in the context of subject matter expertise, some of those things that we know from just being out there in that particular world that they should look out for as they do develop those applications towards any type of device that sits out there.
How often are you guys having to put the stop sign up or hold up sign up when people want to develop something? Because I can only imagine that app development can happen, one, so quickly, and two, there's a lot of momentum behind it. People are very enthusiastic.
Well, most of the time, I think what we find is that the old development cycle, if you look at a Windows development cycle, you may have the same operating system for 10 years. So a lot of the development that goes on is still largely built around an operating system that's going to be fairly stable for a period of time. So even from an iOS or Android perspective, there's not a lot that changes from the baseline in those particular operating systems. So we're able to kind of frame how that works for them so that they're not going outside those parameters that we're allowed to focus on inside the organization. Again, going back to the DISA STIGs, if a new operating system goes up with brand new functionality, we certainly want to have the conversation about these are the new features of the device, and these are the things that we simply can't control or not secure enough yet. So we need to be cautious as we develop towards them.
And as DISA is updating those STIGs, follow this background to the beginning of the conversation, are you guys part of that update? Are you sitting in the room with DISA saying, at least listening to it so you know what's coming down the pipe and maybe giving some insights?
Interestingly enough, a lot of the STIGs that DoD builds are built with the vendors. So because we have a good relationship with those different mobile vendors, and we do partner, I think, well federal government-wide, a lot of the requirements that we have are pretty similar across different agencies. Clearly, we don't have top-secret type data, and the STIGs are largely based on information that's not secret. So we find ourselves largely represented by what comes out in those STIGs without having to sit actually in the room and say, this is what VA wants.
And as you said, because it's done with the vendors and you have the relationship with the vendors, they're giving you a sense as well as, well, this is where we think we can go next, and here's the security issue or whatever that we can be addressed. Let's move over to the state of mobility of VA. I know it's a wide-ranging question. There's a lot of devices. There's a lot of apps out there. Give me a general sense of how VA is doing with mobility and how much is it impacting the mission?
Well, I think we've come a long way. I started doing mobile around 7 or 8 years ago, and when we first started mobile, it was a device that was largely based on the consumer model. So it was an add-on device. So what we had was devices that we had to find ways to make function in the organization. So there was risk mitigation. We had to have stronger training, or we simply just couldn't leverage a certain feature of a device. As we fast forward through the years, we found that the controls around those devices have increased, so we've been able to leverage those devices more and more in the organization.
So let me jump in. Just one of those, for instance, maybe Bluetooth. I remember years ago there was a big issue of, oh, we got to turn the Bluetooth off. Is that an example of one of those functions that maybe before you couldn't use and today maybe you can? It's less risky?
Depending on the actual Bluetooth functionality. So before, we weren't really allowed to use Bluetooth at all. But now if you're going to use the headsets, Bluetooth headsets, that's allowed. We're finding more and more types of devices that allow for that secure connection that are Bluetooth-based. So those are the types of things that have advanced because as the mobile vendors have come to recognize the enterprise-type model, the government-type model, they've been willing more and more to include those types of controls to allow for a greater population to use them.
And let's go backwards for a second. You were talking about the latest. So you started about when mobility really got going in VA about 7 or 8 years ago. A lot of it was, could we or couldn't we use it? It's much different today.
If you look back at that particular model, again, from the consumer perspective, they wanted to deliver a device that could do all these great and wonderful things, email, calendar contacts, web surfing, applications, and all those types of things. And there was really no mobile device management back in that time. So we really had to be cautious. Any device that we brought in, we were basically using them as a consumer device with some of the government features that we were looking for, email, calendar, contacts. So we had to be cautious on what we allowed those devices to access. As we've moved forward and the industry has matured, we've had a much easier aspect of bringing the devices in and allowing them to function in the organization because we can control what types of configurations goes on those devices. And we rely less and less on the user making the right choice and using technology to make sure that we're able to segment off what VA needs to protect.
And I think that's a change we're seeing across all of government. There's a comfort with the devices and the increase of security and the tools. Is it also a piece of the fact that more people demand the devices? I mean, let's take VA has doctors and nurses and healthcare providers. They don't want to be without their laptop. They want to be able to go into and see a patient and type it in. They don't want to handwrite it anymore. Is that the other piece of this that you almost, that the market had to move because of the demand?
Clearly, we want to be able to deliver healthcare at any place at any time. And that's important because we want to be able to serve the veteran the best that we can. So leveraging that technology, and we certainly have providers that want to be able to access that information no matter where they're at. And that does drive us to go and look for those best solutions. In many cases, we partner with the vendor community to come up with solutions that help us mitigate risks that otherwise haven't been solved any other way.
Generally speaking, again, state of mobility, do you have some statistics you can share, numbers of either apps and or devices in VA, even the range?
We have around 36 apps in total. These are applications that are developed either by VA or by contractors working for VA. We have 21 apps that are internal to the staff, and then we have another set of applications that are out there for the veterans. And those applications continue to mature so that they're able to deliver in more and more services, not only to the staff, but also to the veterans. So we're doing a lot of exciting things as we move more and more into the mobile space. It's really just expected, anticipated. Our staff expects the ability to connect back to the organization using their mobile devices. And the veteran, whether they're the younger generation or the older generation, they're really getting used to being able to have access to the services that they want, no matter where they're at, and leverage their mobile device.
DJ, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can jump into the VA mobile strategy. My guest is DJ Catchman, the mobile technologies and system CIO for VA mobile cloud infrastructure. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is DJ Catchman, the Mobile Technologies and Systems CIO for the Veterans Affairs Department's Mobile Cloud Infrastructure. Now, DJ, before break, we're talking a little bit about the state of VA and around mobility. And you mentioned that it's been 5-7 years since really VA's really started to dip their toe and now is knee-deep in mobility and maybe even arm-deep now. Discuss how the organization really has matured around their approach to mobile computing.
Well, before we had multiple groups managing devices, and those varied from group to group depending on what their customer was or their mission was. So we fast forward to now. In the last 2 or 3 years, we've really consolidated down. So the organization is shifting more towards an enterprise approach, leveraging standards, efficiency, and we've really taken that to heart as we've moved our mobile devices into a single umbrella. So everything is managed from a single location, a single infrastructure, so that we're able to have standards across the entire organization, which leads to a couple of different things. Security is greater when we're able to do that. The ability to deliver better customer service because there's knowns. We know exactly what's on those devices. And we're able to really focus on delivering to the customer what they need versus having to figure out what customer is having the issue and who serves that customer. So now it's all under a single umbrella. And that's really a big shift in our organization, considering how large we are.
How difficult was that to get people under that one umbrella? Was there some outliers? Did people push back? What did you do to kind of make that happen? Because I could see a lot of other CIOs who maybe are listening going, yeah, I have the same problem.
What we focused really on is the benefits to it. So we know that there are certain aspects that folks want to continue to manage on their own. But when we really laid down and showed the benefits of doing that, one, we're able to have a single standard across the organization. We put our efforts into making sure that the STIGs apply to a large group. We wanted to make sure that from a system perspective, that we're able to manage a single system versus having to manage many systems. We're able to have redundancy in those systems so that when something does go wrong, we're able to get it back up and running a lot quicker. It helps us focus from the vendor perspective as well, that we have focused on a single platform with a single known, rather than are you at this particular program office or this particular hospital, and they may have different versions of the program running, so that would cause confusion. So once we started to lay out those benefits, we found that most people were really willing to join us in that particular effort. And of course, we want to include their experiences and knowledge, largely because we do have a large customer base, and it's important for us that although we do know a lot of the customer, we do have folks that deal with specific customers. So we leverage their experience and their knowledge as we bring them into the larger organization to make sure that we're able to apply whatever configurations or standards that make their job easier, or at least make their job something they're able to do without being hindered.
We want to clarify something. When you talk about customers, there's the VA employees, there's veterans, and then there's also the healthcare providers, doctors and nurses. That's when you say customers, are you're including everyone in that world?
Yeah, so ultimately our customer is the veteran. So we want to make sure that the experience that they have is top notch. And to do that, we have to interact and help out all of those people that directly interface with the veteran. So whether it's someone's from Veterans Benefits or the cemetery or the healthcare part of the organization, we want to make sure that they have all the tools necessary, because when a veteran comes in, what we don't want them to see is the technology that's behind the service that they're getting. We want that to be seamless, and to do that, we have to listen to those who serve them directly so that they're not having to deal with issues that could cause a problem with them having the ability to deliver the service that the veteran needs.
The other customers, of course, are the VA employees who need the devices to do their job. And then you're also including doctors and nurses, because I remember years ago when you guys, 2010, 2011 timeframe, when VA was just getting started, the doctors and nurses piece and healthcare providers was really the biggest challenge. I mean, you as the employee, you'll listen to what your CIO says, but some doctor who says, no, you can't use your iPad, you have to use this clunky, you know, brick of a laptop, that's where the pushback came, I remember.
What we've been able to do is we have a lot of medical providers that do come in and out of the organization. They come from different hospitals or universities, and they bring to us a lot of those new technologies that they see out in their world. So we're able to work towards incorporating that. I think VA is really cutting edge when it comes to delivering the type of technology that our staff needs. And we balance that, of course, with the security side and the standard side, because with security and standards, we're able to deliver a solid customer service experience, which allows them, again, to focus on the veteran and not focus on, is my device working today?
We talked a lot about the current state of VA. You guys also have a mobile strategy. It's changed a fair amount probably over the last few years. Talk a little bit about that mobile strategy and where is it heading and what are you focused on?
Well, the focus on is to continue to deliver a mobile experience for the end user, again, so they can serve the veteran without having to worry about the device that they're using. Is it going to work? Is it going to connect? And that type of thing. And the market's really matured to the point, I think, that we're able to do a pretty good job at delivering those types of services. So the strategy, it's really all starting to combine. If you look at what VA is doing, we have more cloud type work that's going on. We have clinical health that goes out into the folks that are in the rural areas and all those types of things. So delivering this mobile piece to those types of environments is all part of that strategy to make sure that we're able to continue to deliver the best service that we can, ultimately, again, to the veteran.
And I think that's the key, is the pieces are all coming together. You have the cloud. You have this powerful device, the iPad or some kind of tablet device. You have better coverage from either cell or Wi-Fi or some sort of or satellite even. And then you have these apps that are being developed that are more user-friendly. Is that that's the key piece? I mean, as each of these technologies mature, it opens the door to a much bigger, better use for mobile devices.
There's a lot of leaps. I mean, when you find a leap in a certain type of one of those that you've mentioned, like cloud, then you're able to leverage cloud to do something better with mobile. When you have an advancement in mobile that allows you to take advantage of something in the cloud, so all those pieces are coming together. Mobile really looks at, ultimately, access anywhere at any time. And when you have access to the cloud, you have access to a strong mobile device, a good mobile device, good applications. And then, like you said, coverage. Coverage is getting better and better, as we've seen in the last couple of years. And we're looking at the next quantum leap of 5G, which is really going to expand our ability to deliver different types of services. Those things are certainly something that we're looking for as we move down that road. And again, we're trying to stay cutting edge, but at the same time, making sure that we are delivering something that is going to be consistent. So not something just because it's out there, but being able to deliver a solid customer experience, again, consistently.
And the other side of this equation is the telehealth side, where a doctor or nurse or a provider can be at the VA hospital, but interact and check in on a patient, because the patient may have a smartphone that they could FaceTime with. The doctor, nurse, the health professional can see what's going on. That's the other piece of this, too, is the veteran and the veteran's family who gets the care, they're more capable as well now than it was, you know, again, 5-7 years ago.
Yeah, there's been a lot of advancements in the ability for healthcare providers to connect with their patients. And we're starting to see that more and more, not just in VA, but in the private sector as well. And what's important for us is to make sure that we have the infrastructure that supports that, and to be able to, again, really deliver a consistent service. Because the most important piece, I think, in there is that although we want to leverage new technology, do all these wonderful things, we also have to make sure that we deliver a consistent technology so that they are able to do that. So when the veteran does need support, they're able to get the support that they need. And we're not going to have technology problems because the technology is so new that we're not able to support it completely.
How do you, from where you sit, balance the needs of the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, with what the VA can actually provide and what the network can handle? Where's the balance point?
Well, once we start talking about the ability to deliver service and leveraging the infrastructure that we have, leveraging the technology that we have, and listening to the doctors, the nurses, and all sorts of other VA staff, to build those requirements, we partner with the vendor community to start building out those services where they don't exist. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we can deliver a consistent service. And that, I really can't stress that enough, that when you look at those new technologies, there are a lot of new technologies out there that can do a lot of great and wonderful things. But at the same time, some of them are so new that we can't deliver it consistently. So we continue to lean forward to make sure that we are looking at the new technologies. We have small pilots that go on to see what does and doesn't work. And then where we find those opportunities, we can spread those out into a larger scale deployment production. And then we can leverage that technology consistently.
Give me an example maybe of a recent pilot that either succeeded or didn't, that maybe regarding the use of maybe emerging or leading edge technology.
I think even the iPads themselves, if you look at the shift from really a desktop or a laptop, that was something that I wouldn't say necessarily clunky, but a desktop certainly can't leave the desk. And laptops, depending on the size, are difficult to carry around. So we started delivering out iPads to the VHA staff, the medical staff. And we found a lot of success with that because they liked the ability that they could carry it around. It was light. And they were able to access the information that they wanted to access. So we found a lot of things in there that we think we could do better. And we also found things that that they liked consistently because they were able to access the data on the go, basically and virtually from wherever they were at.
You think iPads, they've been around for so long, but it's a little different than as you were bringing in the technology, and can people get used to it? DJ, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into some of your future-looking priorities. My guest is DJ Catchman, the Mobile Technologies and Systems CIO for the Veterans Affairs Department's Mobile Cloud Infrastructure. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is DJ Catchman, the Mobile Technologies and Systems CIO for the Veterans Affairs Department's Mobile Cloud Infrastructure. So, DJ, we started off the first two segments of the show really looking at the current state of VA, looked at where have you come from and how things have changed. Let's look forward a little bit. What are your priorities? What are you trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
Well, one of the biggest priorities that we have right now is around authentication. And as our organization has moved towards the PIV enforcement, so making sure that all of our employees are able to log in, authenticate using their PIV cards, one of the challenges around that is mobile devices aren't really built for that natively. They're far different than a laptop or a desktop, which you can plug a card into, a card reader into, and you can move around with it. So about a year ago or so, NIST came out with guidance 800-157, which is probably better known as derived credentials. And that allows us to deliver a certificate to a device. And that's really the biggest focus that I have right now, that not only from a security perspective allows us to secure the authentication and that transmission, sending and receiving of data, but it also is going to help us from a single sign-on perspective that we're able to launch applications leveraging that certificate securely, which gives our providers the ability to really not have to log in multiple times to different applications, and that you don't have the cumbersome need to have a card reader plugged into that device. And there's all sorts of different reasons why card readers can be problematic, largely because we have different operating systems, we have different card readers, and we have different applications that can leverage those card readers. So that's, if I was looking ahead 6 to 9 months, that's really the focus that we're taking right now, is to be able to deliver some sort of credential to the device to allow for that secure authentication.
Derived credentials is usually the one that's, you only hear about it through really the Defense Department. DIS has been a leader. Where are you guys at with it? Are you in the pilot stage yet? Are you in the planning stage? Is this something that's a reality yet?
Right. So derived credentials, like you said, that DOD has been working on it for quite a while. There's a lot of agencies that are working on it, and VA has been focused really on making sure that we have the proper requirements in there. We haven't found agencies out there yet that have done the full deployment of derived credentials. And by saying that, I really mean the ability to create a credential, deliver a credential, and then a consumer credential. So we find ourselves in VA in the position of making sure that we can, one, identify the proper requirements. So part of derived credentials is understanding your infrastructure, making sure that you're able to implement a solution that's able to leverage your infrastructure. And then the biggest piece, and I think the hardest part of derived credentials, is simply the consumption of the actual credential itself. And that's something that we found that most folks, when you talk about derived credentials, there's this understanding that you put an application on a device, you put a credential on a device, and those two work without a lot of configuration, where in fact, your applications have to be coded or use some sort of wrapper to consume that that credential itself. So there's a lot of work on the front end to make sure that we can actually create the certificate and meet the federal requirements around LOA3, but then also deliver that to the device and then have it consumed by the different applications. So there's a lot of work there. We're looking to have some sort of pilot done, really a proof of concept in the next 6 to 9 months, just to prove out that we can actually create the certificate and deliver it and have at least a couple different applications consume it. And that'll give us really a benchmark to determine if we're down the right path, our infrastructure supports it. All of the certificate pieces, the roots certificates and all those types of things are all functioning in the way that we expect.
So in the meantime, if you're using your iPad, are you limited to what you can use, or is there a card reader that's kind of an external one?
Yeah, so for the most part, all of our applications will leverage some other sort of authentication technology. In the cases where they do not, what we do is basically focus on how else can we deliver that particular service to that particular staff person. We're moving ahead, I think, pretty quickly. We're in the unique position because we've opted to do user-based PIV enforcement. And a lot of other federal agencies have opted to do workstation-based. So we're further ahead from a security perspective. But it's also created a little bit of a technology difficulty because a lot of the technology out there focuses on the ability to deliver your continue to leverage a third party to deliver some sort of authentication method to the actual application itself, which is basically just capturing a password someplace. Our passwords are gone. So we have to use some sort of certificate to authenticate. Or you, as you said, we have very few, but there are a couple of cases where folks are using a card reader that's either Bluetooth or plugged right into the device. But again, we're really focused on that derived piece right now.
So help me understand. I guess I've never heard the user-based PIV credential versus the workstation. I've never heard the difference. What is the difference between the two?
So in a user-based, when that switch is flipped at the Active Directory level, they no longer have a functioning password. It's basically 256 characters of nonsense. It's impossible. The user can't have the password, and applications won't consume it. And workstation-based, it's enforced at the workstation. So if you go up to a workstation that's workstation-enforced and try to type in a password, it will not work. So once a user in VA is PIV-enforced at the user level, they no longer have a password, so they have to use a PIV card in every method of authentication.
So where some agencies put their card in and they have to enter a PIN and password to get authenticated, VA doesn't do that anymore. It's you have to put the card in, and the card creates the handshake between the hardware device and the software on the back end to allow the authentication and the authorization. I may have simplified that, but is that basically right?
Yeah, essentially, to authenticate to anything, you have to have the PIV card and you have to have your PIN. And then that's the only way that you can authenticate once that switch is flipped.
That's helpful to understand because I think, again, user-based PIV is maybe new to me, but maybe I just hadn't heard it described this way. Give me a sense of other priorities you're looking at. Are there other things you want to hope to get done as well?
We're not focused on a lot on the standardization piece. So once we have the basic configuration, we want to continue to make sure that we are standardizing on the types of devices that we have. And that's really for the ease of customer service. So when we have knowns for our customer support staff, it's easier for them to update the devices. It's easier for them to help the user through specific problems on those devices. So it's really in line with what the organization is doing from like a desktop or laptop. We just want to make sure that we have standards across the entire organization so that we can deliver the best customer service that's possible.
The other piece of this discussion around mobility is the apps. And we talked a little bit about the apps. Talk, if you can, give me a little bit more details about how you guys are ensuring the apps are built securely. I know, for instance, the Homeland Security Department has their car wash program to look at apps. There's a lot of talk about automated testing of apps and software before they get on any kind of network. What's VA doing around application security?
We have two different approaches. We have the developed applications that we're developing for VA, for either staff or veteran-facing applications. And those go through an entire development process that has security controls built in. So there's tools that they use that scan the code to make sure that we're not introducing vulnerabilities. And that continues to go on for every single application. Before an application goes into production, we ensure that happens before we deliver it to the application catalog. From an external perspective, it's the same thing. If we have an application that's commercial off the shelf that an employee needs to use, it goes through our security process in which they do basically the same thing. They test that application to make sure there's no vulnerabilities in it. They're going to put sensitive data at risk. And once that does happen, they're able to give us the go-ahead. Or if the security folks find an issue and the vendor fixes it, that goes into the application catalog as well. So all of our applications that are used for sending, receiving, or storing VA data go through this type of process.
When VA gives a device to one of their employees, there's an MDM that gets put on. Is that the other piece of the security? So the information, the personal information, the business information is separated, but it's also where data doesn't live on the device through this MDM. How are you guys using that?
So the MDM is largely just for the ability for us to configure that device and have visibility into and apply those security controls. When we're talking about the storage of sensitive information, we have a different set of protocols for that. And that's largely, to oversimplify this, that's the application has to have FIPS validation. So it has to meet that encryption standard that the federal government requires before we can store data. And the same with sending and receiving data. So the MDM itself cannot deliver encryption in that matter, but we can certainly look for those applications and deliver only applications that do meet that standard.
DJ, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish out the conversation. My guest is DJ Catchman, the Mobile Technologies and Systems CIO for the Veterans Affairs Department's Mobile Cloud Infrastructure. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is DJ Catchman, the Mobile Technologies and Systems CIO for the Veterans Affairs Department's Mobile Cloud Infrastructure. DJ, before break, we talked a little about your priorities. Authentication was a really big one. Let me just talk a little bit briefly about, there's a lot of people out there who want to develop apps. There's a lot of third parties who believe with the data that the agencies are pushing out that they want to develop an app and it can help out. What should they know about working with VA? If a veteran says, you know, I could solve a problem, what should they know about developing an app that maybe VA or, you know, could share to other veterans or other people in the community?
Well, I think the important approach that we take is leveraging out there what exists out there in the commercial world. So if we find applications that do provide a value to the organization, we certainly want to evaluate those. There's our opportunities where we have applications that are currently in use, where a veteran or maybe a vendor or somebody from the public says, hey, we could do this differently or do it better. Maybe we just incorporate that idea into the existing application. So there's a couple different approaches there. We certainly want to encourage the best of breed so that we are leveraging the latest technology and the best applications so that we can continue to provide the best service to the veteran. So there's a couple different approaches there, but we're really focused on making sure that we can deliver something that's sustainable. If you look across the application stores out there, you'll find a lot of great applications, and then you find some applications that are not so great. So the important piece is there is driving from a requirements perspective, making sure that we have the requirements met, not only from a usability perspective, but all those back-end pieces that are often overlooked, I think, when people build applications, that we can interact with VA and have the information go back and forth as it's required to. And then, again, we have opportunities where we can take thoughts and ideas and incorporate that into existing technology. That's probably the easiest path for us.
Do you get a sense of where the biggest growth areas around mobile apps? Is it in the telehealth world? Is it in the, if you will, back office systems, or time and attendance type of thing? Where are you seeing the biggest growth?
Well, I think telehealth is pretty big. From an outside perspective, the doctor that I use has the ability, we can communicate back and forth. Although we don't do video, we're able to really chat on a regular basis when I have a particular question or an issue. So I think that there's a major growth there simply because we want to continue to expand that services and using mobile devices and those applications that are able to deliver that service. I think there's a big growth market simply in just delivering a consistent service to those veterans that can't necessarily come into the facility. So I think telehealth is probably a pretty big one.
And are you seeing a lot of interest? Do you hear from vendors? Do you hear from others in the community who want to pitch, if you will, their mobile device applications or their services in some way?
Yeah. So what we focus on in my group is really to the infrastructure and the security piece. So we do have a lot of vendors that come to us and talk about a certain mobile application or a certain approach to development. After we talk with them, we typically send them off to development groups so that they're in the right place so they can talk with those folks about it. But as we go through that, we also learn a lot about what's going on outside of VA from a development perspective so that we're better able to anticipate that.
The other piece of this is the network, and that's the other part of your title is cloud infrastructure. We talked a little bit about cloud, we talked a little bit about infrastructure, but what is the biggest challenge that you guys are facing from a mobility, from a network infrastructure perspective to really get these applications, these devices to their full potential?
Well, I think from a network perspective, VA has done a pretty good job at building out the connectivity that's required for internal use of a device. As you go out, you do find those coverage issues, and that's certainly something that we have to keep in mind as we build out applications. If you look at applications that require constant connectivity, those applications may not function the further out you go from those big cities, so they have less and less coverage. So that's something that the organization has to keep in mind as they do develop applications to make sure that we're conscious of those particular use cases where there may not be constant connectivity. I think some of that's going to go away as we go down 2 or 3 years into the future here. As a matter of fact, I read an article just recently that talked about people being frustrated with having to use wireless networks because they're so used to having constant connectivity from a carrier. And now that the carriers are really starting to focus on that quote unquote unlimited, if you will, I think we're starting to see this shift where you're going to see a lot more coverage across the geographic areas, as well as increased speeds.
The last piece of this is, we talked just a little bit about it just previously, is the vendors. There's a lot of vendors who definitely listen to my show. They're going to be hearing all these opportunities. And what should they know about working with your office, and maybe more broadly what they should know about working with VA around mobility and mobile computing?
We focus on delivering a solid user experience, which ultimately delivers that top-tier service for the veteran. And I think that's important. If you also look at the size of the organization, we're the largest civilian organization agency in the federal government. We're spread across a large geographic area. We have hundreds of thousands of employees. We have staff that rotates in and out. So we're fairly unique in that. It's not something that's normal. So when a vendor comes in and says that they can do something, we want to make sure they fully understand what the agency looks like. We have a new office. It's called the Strategic Sourcing Organization, that was started in October. What they're focused in on is delivering the best either service or solution to the VA. And they do that through a couple different ways. They want to make sure that we have the best-in-class suppliers, strong contractual performance, which is certainly important, speed to market, and that type of thing. And what I think that really does is fosters good stewardship of tax dollars, so that we're not going out there and trying over and over again. So from a strategic perspective, really just focus on, if the VA puts out a requirement for a certain solution, system, or what have you, we really expect that solution or system to be delivered.
Is there anything coming up that they should know about, any RFPs, RFIs, and any procurement actions that you're able to talk about?
Well, mobile is always changing, so it's good to be on the lookout for any of those new things that we're looking for. There's many cases where we're looking at cutting-edge technology that we're going to bring in from a small scale just to try to check it out to see if it works. And then as we find those opportunities, those go full scale. So it's really just a good idea to continue to engage VA from a contracting perspective to look for those opportunities.
Very well. I know we could probably have a whole conversation about Internet of Things and the challenge that brings to mobility, but we're going to have to save that for another time. I'd like to thank my guest, DJ Catchman, the Mobile Technologies and Systems CIO for the Veterans Affairs Department's Mobile Cloud Infrastructure. I'm your host, Jason Miller. DJ, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And DJ will join us on April 10th at 1 p.m. to continue the conversation for a special Ask the CIO online chat at federalnewsradio.com. Sign up today. Again, April 10th, 1 p.m., federalnewsradio.com.